Well, I'll add my welcome. It's good to see you all. Thank you, Graham, for leading our service. I want to talk to you this evening, just for a short time, about the greatest gift. The greatest gift. Now, a few of you were out with us in Church Street yesterday as we had our open air service in the city centre in the afternoon. Those of you that heard me speak for a few minutes, you're going to recognise quite a bit of what I'm going to say. Because yesterday you got the short open air version, and this afternoon you're getting the longer full version. We're going to consider the greatest gift. Now, this morning, those of you that were here, you recall that I asked the children if they will help me with something. I asked them to consider a question. And here's the question that they were asked to think about. What's the best gift you could ever be given? What's the best present you could ever get? Well, I've got the answers here. And in true tradition, let's do them in reverse order. Now, I wonder, parents, maybe you'll recognise your child from the answer they gave. I must admit, most of these children are very easily pleased. I was expecting some perhaps more extravagant answers when you consider what's the best present, the best gift you could ever be given. Well, in joint fourth place, we've got two separate answers. Pink Lego. How about that? There was no such thing as pink Lego when I was a boy. Lots of Lego. I don't recall any pink pieces. There's a sign of the times. Pink Lego. Well, there we are. Pink Lego. And probably continuing with the colour of pink, Barbies. Presumably anything Barbie related will do. So they're the two in joint fourth position. Pink Lego and Barbies. Maybe they go together. There we are. Well, I suppose they were joint third position, really. Here's two, exactly the same thing, that are in second place. I see a few trips to casualty on the way. Skateboards. Someone's after skateboards. So there we go. If anyone comes in with their arm in a sling next Sunday, we probably know why. Although the Higham family have spent enough time in casualty recently. But there we go. Now, first place. How many? One, two, three, four, five, six. All sharing first place. My best Christmas present would be Nintendo DS. Is the item. Now, for those older ones who haven't got a clue what Nintendo DS is, like me, there you go. A little handhold gadget that probably does everything except make yourself a cup of tea. So if any of you see any of the children this time next week walking round with something that looks like that, then you can look very cool and with it. And you say, oh, you've got a Nintendo DS for Christmas, did you? There you go. Now, whether they're available in pink as well, probably they are. But there we are. So a Nintendo DS is the top prize this Christmas for what would be my best Christmas present ever. Well, now, I wonder what we would all consider to be the greatest gift. What would be the very best thing that you could be given? Well, I guess many of us would put lots of different emphasis as to what we would consider to be the best. What might be the best for one person, someone else wouldn't even consider, wouldn't even be on their list. I'm fairly sure if we went round everyone this evening and asked them what was on their Christmas present list, because I'm sure all of us have got even a little one, you would have things, some of you, on your Christmas present list that I wouldn't give a second thought for. Well, let me suggest three things that perhaps we might consider important as a gift. The first thing might be if someone gave you a gift that you knew you could never possibly hope to pay for yourself. It's something that you could never afford to buy for yourself. Something perhaps that you've always wanted, but you knew I could never afford it. But then if someone gave it to you as a gift, wow, that would be great. Now I can remember many years ago, the office that I used to work in, one of the girls was having her 21st birthday party. And I got an invitation to it, but I couldn't go. Because as it turns out, Debbie and I, we were not long married, we were on holiday at the time this girl was having her birthday party. But it was one birthday party. I really wished I could have gone along just to see it. Because this girl whose birthday it was, her dad was really very wealthy. He was one of the top four directors of a very large company based in Liverpool. I won't tell you what it is, but it's the opposite of a big forest. You know, some of you will get there. But he was one of the top four directors. You know, some of you are beginning to work it out. Let me tell you, his company car was a Bentley. Have any of you ever been down to Formby to see the red squirrels? You'll have driven down Victoria Road, where there's all those huge detached houses. That's where they lived. And the 21st birthday party was to be held in a huge marquee in their back garden. I wished I could have gone just to witness it. Well, when I returned to work a week or two later, people were still talking about this birthday party. And apparently, on the stroke of midnight, the live band that had been hired stopped playing. And the side of the marquee was pulled back. And in came this girl's 21st birthday present. She had been given a brand new car. It had a huge ribbon tied right round it and a great big red bow on the roof. And it was driven into the marquee. And that was her 21st birthday present. I remember once I got a brand new car for my birthday present. It was in a box about that big. Getting something as a gift that you couldn't possibly afford to buy for yourself. What a gift. What a present that would be. Or perhaps for you, something that makes a gift a really special gift, maybe even the best gift, is something that reminds you that the person that gave it to you loves you dearly. And it's a gift that shows the love of the giver. The one that gave it to you loves you very much. Now, our house is probably quite similar to some of your homes. In that, we've got all kinds of little things dotted all around our house that to most people really aren't worth anything. But they're things that we would probably never throw away. We've got pictures and paintings drawn by our lads when they were little toddlers. And they're up on the kitchen door and they're in little places, little models that have been made, things of that nature. Some of you perhaps you've got things that have left to you. They're left to you by loved ones who passed away some time ago. But this thing has been left to you. And it's so precious because it reminds you of the love of the one that gave it to you. And maybe that is a reason why something will be so special, and it will make it such a special gift. Or perhaps, for some of you, the thing that will make a gift so special is that it provides for a very great need that you have. Sometimes on the television at this time of year, you'll find certain programs that are a little bit over-sentimental and tug away at the old heartstrings, and you'll be introduced to people who are in quite dire circumstances. Perhaps they've had a really bad difficulty within their family, perhaps they've got a really serious illness, whatever it is, and perhaps they'll say, well, the greatest gift that I could be given this Christmas is... And it will be if their problem, their difficulty, their circumstance could be put right. If I could be cured of this illness, that would be the greatest gift that I could ever be given. And maybe you've heard people speak in that way. Some great need that they have. And if only that need could be met, well, that would far and away be the greatest gift that I could possibly be given. Well, in the Bible, we read of a wonderful gift that God has given to us. And the Bible makes it clear that it really is the very best gift that we could have. The Bible actually speaks of a gift, actually uses the word gift, something that God has given to us freely. For example, in Romans in chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then in Ephesians, "For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." We've been saved from the wages of sin, and this salvation is freely given by God as a gift. And the great thing about this gift is that it's a gift that you could never purchase for yourself. You could never possibly do it. The wages of sin is death. We read in the Bible that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. There it is, Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We could never possibly hope to pay for this gift ourselves because of our sinfulness. All of us have fallen short of that which God requires. Escaping from the wages of sin is something that none of us are capable of doing unless it's paid for us. And we read in the Bible that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We read in the Bible that Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. He paid the price through his own death on the cross in order that we might receive forgiveness as a gift of God's grace. And talking about God's grace reminds us that this gift that God offers through the Lord Jesus speaks of the love of God towards us, the love of the one who gives it. At the beginning of John chapter 3 verse 16, perhaps the best known verse in the whole Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." The Bible says the motivating force in God was his love towards us, that he would give Jesus, that he would make this gift available to us. We read in the book of Romans that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This great demonstration of God's love. And then, it won't be on the screen, but in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, we read that the life that we now live, we live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a fantastic demonstration of God's love. And it's an example of this wonderful gift which speaks of the love of the one who gave it. That's what makes it so special. It's because we could never afford to buy it for ourselves. And it shows us just how much God loves us. And then finally, it's a gift that provides for our greatest need. Now, of course, the thing is, none of us really often care to stop and consider what our greatest need is. We ask the children what would be their greatest gift. And of course, as we expect at this time of year, they came up with all these different toys that they love to receive on Christmas morning. But just before I read to you the first half of one verse, let me remind you of the second half of that same verse. We read that God so loves the world that he gave his only Son. But the verse continues that whoever believes in him might not perish. And that's our greatest need, that we might not perish. Now, I don't know what kind of things you consider important in your life, but my Bible actually tells me that my greatest need is nothing to do with anything in this life. No matter what kinds of problems and difficulties I might be facing. Now, that's not to say that God doesn't care about my problems and difficulties, nor does it mean that he can't or he won't help me with them. But that's not my greatest need. My greatest need is to be saved from God's judgment of my sinfulness. Because I'm going to perish if I don't believe in Christ. And God offers to us a way that we might be saved from that judgment of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. That I might not perish, but instead have everlasting life. Now I reckon that's a gift worth receiving. And it's a gift. So you don't have to do anything with it except receive it. Because it's a gift. You don't have to pay for it, I'm pleased to say. And you never could. It's given by one who loves you dearly and intimately. And it will provide for your greatest need, that you might not perish, but have everlasting life. The angel announced that Mary and Joseph were to call the name of their baby Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Now that's what I call a gift. And you may receive it by realizing your great need of being saved from your sins, turning to the one who's paid the price for you, shown God's love to you, and trusting in him today. I'll hand back over to Graham.